Can you tell us, I know we have limited time today, so I am going to compress a little bit. You have now been here for 7 years, mm-hmm. I think. What, in your opinion, are the key cases or the landmark cases that you have been involved with, maybe one or two, that you have been involved with, that you think are important that you were involved with, and why?
Bien, le plus grand procès qu'on a eu, c'est le procès Butare. Je crois que c'est le plus grand procès de l'histoire du Rwanda, puisque cela implique 6 accusés. Et puis on a eu d'autres procès, bien sûr. On a eu Kajelijeli, Kamwanda, et deux procès où on a les personnes, les accusés ont plaidé coupables.
There is a Butare case, which is actually the largest case in Rwandan history, and especially in this country now. And I am involved in that case. It's a case...
At this time?
Right now, yes.
Yes, okay.
It's a case which has 6 accused. That apart, we have had other cases in which I've been involved, like the Kajelijeli case and the Kamuhanda case. Then there are 2 other cases in which the accused pleaded guilty.
Are these other cases completed, the ones you mentioned?
Alors, on a complété Kamwanda, Kajelijeli, les 2 personnes qui ont plaidé coupables, et nous sommes en train, nous allons peut-être délibérer l'année prochaine sur, ou à partir de cette année, cela dépend, sur l'affaire Butare.
The Kajelijeli and Kamwanda cases are as well as the 2 other cases where the accused pleaded guilty. For the Butare case, perhaps this year, by the end of the year, or next year, we will have to deliberate.
Okay. So is the evidence finished in the Butare case, or is it still going? Are you still taking evidence?
It is still doing.
Okay. And the other case, you are sitting in 2 cases,
yes.
Now?
Well, we have completed the other cases.
Okay. The Kajelijeli case is a bit famous, and particularly your dissent in that case, which I read last night. And I would be interested, if you wouldn't mind, in having your comments on that case. Both in terms of the jurisprudence and the evidence.
C'est vrai que j'ai écrit une opinion dissidente sur Kajelijeli il y a fort longtemps. Alors, je ne me souviens pas très bien des détails. Mais bon, dans notre common law, puisque je suis de la common law maintenant, on a le droit d'écrire une opinion dissidente. Et c'est ce qui m'a beaucoup intéressée parce que, en droit civil, on n'a pas le droit de dire que moi, je ne suis pas d'accord sur cette décision. C'est la majorité qui compte. Alors, à partir du moment où j'ai vu qu'on pouvait écrire une opinion dissidente, je l'ai fait parce que je différais des opinions des 2 autres juges.
Okay. It's true that I did write a dissenting opinion concerning the Kajelijeli case, but you know, it was such a long time ago, I no longer remember all the details. You see, in common law, it's interesting because now I do consider myself as a common law judge. It's interesting that you are entitled to a dissenting opinion because such a thing does not obtain in civil law jurisdictions. And with the civil law system, it's the majority that carries the vote. That's what I can describe it. The reason why I wrote a dissenting opinion in the Kajelijeli case was because I differed my opinions were different from those of the Congolese.
Je voudrais un petit peu corriger. Je ne suis pas de la common law, mais je suis, bon, disons, international judge.
Let me make a correction, Sos. I cannot say I'm really of the common law, but I am
an
international judge.
Yes. Yeah, je comprends. Okay. I have read the opinion and I last night, so I'm perhaps more recently familiar with it than are you. And it was about the, as I understand it, the weight of the evidence. And you felt that the evidence did prove the crimes that were charged, particularly the rapes. And the other two judges did not, as I understand it. Very simplified, oversimplified perhaps. Am I correct in my characterization of that? And you detailed very fully what you believe the facts to have been, the evidence to have been, is in your dissent.
Oui.
Is that more or less correct, what I have said?
Oui. Il y a ce qu'on appelle en droit civil l'intime conviction, et qui est peut-être le doute raisonnable. Je ne sais pas, on doute raisonnablement, c'est vraiment, ça a été quelque chose de très nouveau pour moi. Mais il y a aussi l'intime conviction, c'est-à-dire que vous sentez, à travers les faits qui vous sont soumis, que cette personne a... a véritablement commis l'acte criminel à travers les faits, vous le sentez. Et les faits sont concordants, précises et concordants, de telle manière que vous pouvez en tirer une déduction que ces faits précis et concordants prouvent que la personne a vraiment commis l'acte.
In civil law, there is something which they call, and I'm going to use a French word, expression, intime conviction. Intime conviction is like an intimate conviction.
Yes.
Yeah. When you talk about reasonable doubt, for me, it was a sort of new area. I was not quite familiar with it. But you see, the meaning of intimate conviction, or intime conviction, as we have in civil law, is that when you listen to the evidence as it is adduced, you listen to the facts, you feel, you have that feeling that indeed there are precise and consistent facts which make you think that indeed the accused committed the crimes as alleged. So you can make an inference, a deduction from the facts as they have been presented. The precise and consistent nature of the fact that that is presented.
En fait, je voudrais préciser que l'intime conviction et le doute raisonnable, je crois que je vais écrire là-dessus, ont des relations étroites et peuvent signifier la même chose. Sauf que l'expression est peut-être différente. Mais il faudrait citer des exemples, quoi. Pour l'exemple, c'est par exemple le cas Djeli. Dans mon intime conviction, les faits précis et concordants font que j'en ai déduit que vraiment cet homme a commis le crime. Et si ça, et c'est aussi, on pourrait dire que c'est un doute raisonnable.
Let me say something to clarify matters.
Oui.
I think that the notion of intime conviction, intimate conviction, and reasonable doubt are closely linked. And as a matter of fact, I am going to write something about that. They are closely linked, and they may actually be the same thing. The problem may just be the difference in the expressions, how they are referred to. And when we talk about those two notions, typical example that comes to mind is the Kajelijeli case. Because the precise and consistent facts made me to infer, to surmise, that indeed the accused committed the crimes.
I understand that. I would suggest, perhaps, as you think about writing this, that it may be a matter of language. Intimate, intimate conviction is a positive event. You become intimately inside convinced. Reasonable doubt is a negative. It is what you don't have. One is what you do have, the other is what you don't have.
Oui.
And they may mean the same,
yes,
but the language may be a little difficult. And I must say that I had never heard the word intimate conviction before, but I have experienced it as a judge.
Yes.
And when I feel that, then I have no reasonable doubt.
Yes.
I think about reasonable doubt to make sure, but I don't have the reasonable doubt. It's a very interesting concept, intime conviction. And I must think more about it, and I hope you will write on it. I am pleased to have learned from you.